You guys doing the wild game suppers and the sportsman's outreach, you kind of already understand all that, but it was back in 2012, had the opportunity to go to a large game dinner. It was a really neat event. There was about 1,000 people that came, and I later heard that there was about 100 people that come to know Christ as their Savior that night. God really began to do and work in my heart. At the time, I worked for the Ohio Department of Natural Resources as a state watercraft officer, and my mind just went blank. Basically, that's when God began to convict my heart. I knew God was going to draw me away from that career and call me into something special. So we went up to Ohio, which where I was at in Cincinnati at the time. We went up to Columbus, and they had a large hunt show. They draw in 5,000-10,000 people. You can kind of see some of the clips there on the video. And we got out passing out tracts. Well, after the game dinner, the Lord just really burdened my heart. We need to get a tract together that we can get into the hands of hunters. They're not going to throw to the side. And, you know, I began to pray and fast about that in 2012. And 2015, there was a gentleman in the church. He got the artwork done. It was actually colored pencil drawing. A friend of mine in Kentucky, northern Kentucky, shot this deer, and we took pictures of it hanging on the wall, and he brought it back to life. A nice colored pencil drawing, was able to write up the illustration. And so we got our first 15,000 gospel tracts printed in 2015. And we were going to go to Michigan to a big show, and man, a blizzard come in. It was just bad weather. My uncle called and said, you know, you probably don't want to come this weekend because the weather's so terrible. Well, the National Wild Turkey Federation in Nashville, Tennessee was having their national convention, and just instantly the Lord pressed it on my heart, why don't you turn this weekend, go to the South and check out that event. So we rolled in on Friday night, and with our ministry, you know, I'm not setting up tables because we would have to be there on Sunday, and we don't compromise on that. But the Lord allows us many times to just get in the walkways of these guys coming into the front gate. And, you know, I'm praying about this event. We get in Friday night, and I'm thinking there is no public area where we can stand. The Gaylord Opryland Resort, if you've ever been there, it's such a huge facility. People come from every different direction, and if I was in one parking lot, I'm going to miss 80% of the people coming a different direction. So I'm like, where am I going to go? Well, we get in Friday night, scout the place out, and there's this one little bottleneck hallway. Everybody comes together, and then they got to walk the hallway down to the front gate of the show. And Friday night, I knew the Holy Spirit was saying, there, and that's where you got to stand. Just get right out in that hallway. And I'm thinking in the flesh, like, they're going to kick me out of here, the first worker that comes by and sees me, because I don't have a table, I'm not paying, you know, all that deal. But Saturday morning, as the gate began to open, we got there in that walkway, and my son and I, we began to pass out tracts just as fast as we could move. I mean, shoulder-to-shoulder people coming through here. It's amazing what God done. People thought they were getting information to the turkey show, and they started lining up so they could get their flyer. It was amazing. People thought we worked there. They're like, where's the turkey show at? And there was turkey tracks on the tile going down to the front door. I said, just follow the tracks. It'll take you right where you need to go. We did that for an hour or so, and a lady come up. She had a blue shirt on, and she was very nice. She said, man, we really appreciate what you do. We love Jesus Christ, and we're glad you're here. And I thought, man, that was a big relief. My heart was pounding. I thought for sure she was going to tell me I had to leave. And about another 45 minutes to an hour goes by, and another gentleman come up, and he was a big wig, it looked like. And first thing out of his mouth, he says, what booth are you at? And I thought, oh, this is it, we're done. And I said, well, sir, we don't have a table, and, you know, we're not making any money. And, man, he cut me right off. He said, no. He said, we're for Jesus Christ. He said, we need this all over the country. And he said, we're so glad you're here, and you're more than welcome to do this anytime that you come. And that morning, we passed out 4,000 gospel tracts to hunters coming into the show. And through those 2 to 3 years of praying and fasting, it was amazing. We walked in to the show at about 2 o'clock. We were getting to where everybody was like, nope, I already got one. So we went on into the show. And out of that entire day, out of 4,000 tracts, found one gospel tract on the floor. I mean, folks held them. It's amazing the testimonies I've heard 2 and 3 hours away. I mean, I've run into guys out in the field 2.5 hours from an event that I was at, and they're like, oh, yeah, I got one of these. I've got it at home in my gun safe. It rides with me every day in my semi-truck when I drive all over the place. So God has really blessed our track, and we're thankful for that. You know, our focus is just reaching hunters, just kind of with the testimony of the pastor. You know, we're heading to Missouri this week. We're going to be there for a camp meeting and some meetings. I'll be preaching and presenting our work. But while we turkey hunt, we're going to hit some state lands. And Lord willing, we'll be coming across hunters out in the field and be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Man, the wall is torn down so quickly when you talk about a turkey or you talk about a deer, talk about a success or an excitement that happened in the woods. And that wall comes down, and a lot of folks are very open to hear the gospel. You can begin planting that seed, and we're thankful we see many people saved just through one-on-one evangelism. I've got plenty of tracks. You could see in the video there, supplying material for the saint. As God continues to provide, we'll always make these free and available. We're actually praying right now for God to help us. I'd like to develop a fishing track and also a turkey track and probably like duck and stuff as we just expand more on the ministry. I'd like to do some nice artwork of all of our tracks and have illustrations. So we're seeking the Lord about doing more of tracks just like this. But to date, we're approaching about 65,000 tracks we've been able to get into the hands of hunters. We've never had to charge a dollar for it. God's always provided. I even cover shipping. If somebody calls and says, hey, can you send me 100 or 1,000 tracks? We've mailed them to them at no cost up to this date. And we continue to do that as long as God continues to provide, which I believe he will. But got plenty of tracks with us today, so if you're interested in that. Also, I do have some John and Romans back there. If you'd like to grab some of them off the table and maybe pass them out to some folks you know that could use the Word of God. It's got the outlined edition on it, so it'll walk them right through the gospel. It's got two big bucks fighting right on the front, and man, it captures the attention of those sportsmen. How many people here actually hunt or fish? Okay, a good number of you. Now, let me ask you this. How many people know somebody that hunts or fishes? That's about everybody here. Allow our ministry to just help you in reaching those people that are, you know, strangers or family members or coworkers, whoever it might be. Allow us to be a help to you. If you sign up for our subscription back there at the table, we send out our prayer letters, but also the videos. I did all this footage here. I carry the camera with me when we go hunting, and I like to use the hunts another avenue to give the gospel or discipleship. I try to make sure the Word of God is in every video that we put out and produce. Might be a help, how-to video, but we make sure the Word of God's there in all that we do. And just kind of a new one I just started. I've been writing sportsman devotionals for quite a while, but it's on the email now if you'd like to receive one of those. I put them out about once a week if I'm able to, and you'll get an email by that if you sign up there in the back. So I'll be at the table after the service tonight. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to talk further with you. So if you have your Bibles with you tonight, I'd invite you to turn with me to the book of Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Lord kind of pressed this thought on my heart today. This is a message, you know, being in evangelism, sometimes the Lord lays things on your heart that you've preached before. And God's really used this message actually in my own personal life. The Lord's used it many times, just being a help and encouragement to others, helping people see Christ, helping just folks that are in the fight to keep moving forward, and even to help some that maybe aren't doing what the Lord's called them to do, to just get busy doing what God's called them to do. But there's some things here that we'll look at tonight. If you're with me there in Joshua chapter 1, let's, just for sake of time, in the first part here, we see Moses passing off the scene, and Joshua takes hold. He's getting ready to lead Israel into the promised land, this great land God's given them. But look with me there in verse 6 of Joshua chapter 1. The Bible says, "Be strong and of a good courage." God's talking to Joshua here. "For unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." Our thought tonight comes from verse 9. If you look with me again, the Bible says, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage." Here's these three little words I want you to focus on tonight. Be not afraid. The title of the message tonight is Be Not Afraid. Please pray with me tonight. Lord, we love you tonight, and Lord, we praise you that we can gather in your house freely tonight, Lord, and worship you. I thank you for the word of God. I thank you, Lord, for how it can change our life when we'd be humbled to what you have to say. I pray and ask you, Lord, that your spirit will move in this place, Lord. One thing that's certain about my life is I'm a prideful man, and Lord, I pray tonight that you'd help me to be out of your way, that God, you can have liberty, and Lord, every word spoken would be of the Holy Spirit. Lord, if there's one here lost tonight, I pray that the Holy Spirit would convict them of their lost condition. You'd show them their need for Christ, and Lord, that they'd call upon you before it's too late. Lord, help the believer tonight. Stir us as your people. Lord, meet with us, we pray. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Fear is something that's been a great struggle in my life from the time I was young. I was a very shy kid. It took me a while to develop and just really lose my fear of people. God began to develop that with me through the course of being hired with the Ohio Department of Natural Resources as a state watercraft officer. For about 8.5 years, I patrolled the Ohio River in the Cincinnati area, covered about 4 or 5 counties in the southwest part of Ohio. It was many different things. It was probably 60% law enforcement. The other 40%, we did a lot of different things, maintenance on our boats and our equipment. We did search and rescue, taught the state boating education course. So there was a lot of different things that we did. But I remember going into the State Highway Patrol Basic Police Academy. I was just got hired on, and man, that first day I remember sitting there. And as I looked over next to me, there was another gentleman sitting next to me, and he had a patch on just like I did. Now, there's about 60 officers in that training, and there were officers from all different departments all through the state of Ohio. But there were 27 of us that were being hired as watercraft officers, and we were all going to an area within the state. Now, this gentleman that sat next to me, I remember looking over, and it says state watercraft officer. He had the blue patch just like I did. Never knew the guy before, but I come to learn real quickly he was actually heading to the Cincinnati area. We were taking 2 out of the 3 positions in the east side of Cincinnati at a State Park Lake. And, you know, it was amazing. We went through the 18 weeks of training, and at the end of those 18 weeks, both of us received our certifications. We're now taking a step to where we're going to be able to be commissioned and enforce laws for the state of Ohio. After we did those 18 weeks of training with State Highway Patrol, we did 6 more weeks of watercraft training, learning how to do boat stops and just things that we would be dealing with, which was a bit different than a typical traffic stop. After 6 weeks, him and I both, we walked across the stage. We received our certification. Man, it was a great day. As we move into the Cincinnati area, we begin to learn things about the job. They crammed like 2 years of training on us new cadets in about 1 year. And man, we were traveling a lot of times within Ohio, sometimes outside of Ohio, just getting all those initial certifications that we needed to be sufficient officers. One training that was very interesting, it was search and rescue. Never experienced anything like it. Man, we're getting these boats and we're running right to the face of these low head dams to where if you cross over the boil line, you're going to get sucked into the dam and you're going to drown and die. They'd show us videos of people that would get caught in these hydraulics. Now, I mentioned a boil line. You're probably thinking, what is that? If you're unfamiliar with that, basically the boil line is where that water comes off the face of the dam, and that water turns right back to the face of the dam, and then the water starts to flow down river again. So there's a very distinct line. It's aerated. If you get a motor in there, there's just no way you can move because all the air that's in that current. And it's a very dangerous place. And man, it was crazy. We'd take these boats right up to the nose of the dam. New rescue sequence. Some other things that we would do is Dillon Falls outside of Columbus was a Class 3 rapid. It was pretty intense. And we'd get together as a group and we would do this V and we would get out in the middle of that current and then we would learn to read the river right in the middle of a Class 3 and we would swim. Man, sometimes people would miss the chain and they'd drop off. You'd see their head drop off and they're gone. And it'd be way down the river before you see them pop out again. I mean, it was crazy, life and death type stuff. We get through all of that training, and you know, those 2 weeks of training that we went through here, this officer, he received the same certification that I had received. All the education, everything that we had done, he received it, and he was a little bit more book smart than I was. Usually his test scores were even higher than mine were. But you know, one day, that day came that it was time to put all that training into practice. I was about ready to go home for the day. I'd been on for about 5 years, and a call comes in. The fire department says there's somebody stranded on the river, and we don't have enough power to get to them. They had smaller motors on their rescue boats. Well, that year, basically, it had rained so heavily that they had to shut down the lake. It was a flood control lake, and they don't want the Ohio River to flood out, so they shut down the dam and just let those lakes fill up. Well, we hit record high rainfall. I mean, the water's ready to come out of the dam. It was most water I've ever seen. The park's been shut down for a month or two. But the day came when it was time to release that water, and they've got the floodgates open wide. I mean, they're wide open. The river current's running just as hard as it can run. I've never seen a river quite like this one when it comes to rescue. But I remember that call come in. They said, we need you to get down there. There was a gentleman just about to clock out, and he heard the traffic. He said, I'll meet you at the office. And I'm there. I'm getting all the rescue gear in order, and we get lights and sirens, and we get down to where we're supposed to be. We're staging. And it's me and this older officer. He wasn't much older. He was just a senior officer. And you'll never guess who that third person was that showed up on scene. He was that officer. He was at home. He wasn't on duty, but he got called in. And as he comes rolling into the parking lot, he's the same officer that had that same patch on that I did. He was the same one that went through all those 18 weeks of training and the 6 weeks of training, and most importantly, learning how to be a river rescue technician. He was very well qualified. He did very good at his job on a day-to-day basis. But I still remember he got out of the car and he looked at that river and he looked at me and he said, I'm not going today. He said, I'm going to stay back and I'm going to be shore-based rescue. Now, there's a problem with that because we got about 3 new rookie officers at that time that were not certified to do the things that we could do. They were very capable of keeping all the gear in order on the bank. They were capable of throwing a rescue bag if somebody come floating down. They had it covered. But you know, he got out of the car, and when he looked at that dangerous environment, fear crept into his life, and instantly he said, I'm not going. You know, take that thought for a minute in your spiritual walk today. Are you on a bank today? You see, we think it's so hard. The devil makes us think that soul winning and being in outreach and being used of God is such a difficult thing. But I'm here to tell you tonight is that fear is from Satan. It is not from the Lord. Hey, if you've been saved tonight, you should know how easy it is to tell someone else about Jesus Christ before you ever even open up a scripture. We look at the life of Apostle Paul, and so many times he uses his own personal testimony to show someone else about how Christ changed his life. Can I ask you tonight, are you certified? Have you ever put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? I believe today we have a lot of people coming into the house of God. They punch the time clock on Sunday morning. They punch the time clock, the clock out. They come in on Sunday night, clock in, clock out. Wednesday night, they clock in, they clock out. But yet they never have a burden, they never have a desire to tell someone about Jesus Christ. I would ask you tonight, has salvation ever been real in your life? Now, I went a bad way for a while, but I could always go back to that place. I could never get away from the conviction that the Lord was telling me, hey, there's other people that are lost. You know, I finally surrendered, and the Lord began to develop me and show me that, hey, I got to stop letting fear control my life. And when I did that, I began to see people saved. Again, tonight, in your spiritual walk, are you on a bank? Hey, you might be saved, but when was the last time you told somebody about Christ? Fear always keeps us in a place of emptiness, of unhappiness. There's a void. Even as a Christian, we'll have this inner void because we're too afraid of what somebody might say. Hey, we're too afraid that we might be rejected. We're too afraid that somebody might say something to us that we're not really sure how to respond to the question when it comes to biblical things. And you know what we choose to do? We choose to walk on a bank very well capable because that's more comfortable to us. Before Joshua steps into the promised land here with the children of Israel, jump back with me real quickly here to Numbers. Look with me at Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Look at me here with verse 32 and 33. The spies are being sent into the land. 10 spies come back with an evil report. God says, I've got a land for you flowing with milk and honey if you'll just trust my word. And here in verse 32, the Bible says, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come to the giants, and we were in our own sights as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Look at chapter 14. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness? Wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. They chose to follow man's way. The Bible says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. You know why a lot of Christians tonight live on the bank in their spiritual life? It's because they're too afraid of what man thinks. Here, the children of Israel, we know the story. God drives them into the wilderness for 40 years. And that whole generation never get to see the goodness of God because of that fear and because they chose to listen to 10 men rather than what the Word of God told them. Hey, can I ask you again tonight, in your spiritual walk, are you living on a bank? Hey, are you letting fear keep you from doing a great work for the Lord? I wonder what kind of promised land God might have for you tonight that you may miss out on your life because you'd rather live on that bank in your life. Hey, it's not worth it. Think about this situation for a minute. This gentleman's qualified. There's literally somebody who's going to lose their life if he does not get off the bank. And you know, as Christians, there's people around us every day that are dying and going to hell. But yet we just sit in that place like we don't even care. We could care less that they're going to slip off into eternity. Where are you tonight? Are you living on that bank? Hey, I'd encourage you. Hey, get off the bank in your spiritual walk. You say, I'm not real familiar. I'm not real comfortable and confident in speaking with people. Hey, give it to the Lord. He'll help you. The Bible says, be not afraid. You know, I used to tell Joshua to be not afraid. I'm sure he was having some fear in his life. There were some big battles ahead. And Joshua had to learn to trust God when he didn't understand exactly how everything was going to pan out. And that's exactly what God needs in our life today. We just need to trust him. The second thing tonight I would like you to see is not just the bank in our spiritual walk, but secondly, the boat. Secondly, the boat. You know, it's amazing. We had this raft. It was about a 12-foot raft. And when the floor plates were not in it, it would roll up so you could kind of compress it down real small. So when that boat would inflate, it would roll out to about 12 foot. And there was two long rods. They were about 5 foot long apiece. And they lock right into the aluminum flooring so that whole floor will come stable for you. Without those bars in the side of the boat locking the floor together, your boat's unstable and you cannot fight the current. And so here we are, the head officer, he's ahead of me. He's in the front of the boat and I'm running the motor. And man, I'm telling you, this river is far beyond anything that I've ever trained on before. I mean, literally, the river, the current and the level of it is just life and death. My heart was racing, I'll be honest with you. We get halfway to where this gentleman's at, and as we come around the bend, the current was so hard and so strong, the bottom of the boat begins to just slam as hard as it can hit the river. And about the fifth time that boat hit, instantly, both of those rods pop right out of the boat. And the boat begins to just fold up right in half like an accordion. I remember turning around and looking behind me thinking, I'm going to die. This is it. We're done. I really was scared for my life. I didn't know how in the world we were going to make it out of there. I'm thankful for the grace of God. As a believer, the Lord had his hand upon us. And somehow we were able to get the boat out of the middle of that river and get it pulled back up on the bank. You see, that's where we're at sometimes in our Christian walk. We begin to start that work for the Lord, and sometimes the current gets a little rough, and we don't like it. We have to get back to that bank where we feel a little bit more stable and a little bit more comfortable. I was thinking to myself, we're done. We can't go on anymore. That officer who was a little bit more experienced, we got both of them rods locked right back into the boat. He says, we're good. We got to go right now. Let's go. So I'm thinking, okay, yep, you're right, we got to go. Can I ask you how your counsel is tonight? You see, so many times in our Christian walk, the people that we have in our boat are not the right people that are going to encourage us to accomplish the things of the Lord. We let the wrong counsel around us, and then we hit these bumps in life, and we're not sure how to deal with them, and then we get negative feedback from that person in the boat with us, and we quickly go right back to the bank. Hey, who's in your boat tonight? I hope tonight that you talk to your pastor when you really go through difficult things. I hope tonight that you talk to a woman in the church or a man in the church that you can see is truly walking with the Lord, and you know that they're going to help you with maybe the things that you don't want to hear. Oh, but so many times I can look back in my life, the influence and the people around me, they weren't the right people. They did not encourage me in the things of the Lord. And I found myself many times living on that bank in my spiritual walk. Hey, again, there's somebody that needs help. If we don't get to him, who's going to help him? Hey, if you don't give the gospel to those that you're working next to every day, who's going to reach him? Hey, that person at the gas pump or that person in the bread aisle when you're getting your groceries for the evening or the morning, who's going to tell them about Jesus Christ if you don't? It could be that you're the closest person that God's allowing in their life to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, look, the boat is a great place to be. But I want to encourage you tonight, hey, you got to keep moving forward. Hey, sometimes, man, I've come to learn these last 5 years of ministry, the rejection and the affliction that I have faced trying to do the work of the Lord is far greater than anything I've ever experienced before. Hey, can I tell you, pray for your pastor tonight. You need to pray for him day in and day out because the spiritual attacks are far beyond what we ever realize until we really get in the fight and get moving forward in that difficult current that's ahead of us. Hey, stay on that boat. You may ask yourself, why does God allow those types of storms? Why does God allow the difficulties in our life? Look with me in Matthew chapter 14. We can find that answer. Matthew chapter 14. Look with me there in verse 22. Here we see Jesus teaching his disciples some things about faith. Verse 22 of Matthew 14, this is what the Bible says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship. Look at that word constrained. It means he urged powerfully. He forced them. Christ constrained his disciples to get on this ship and go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now tossed in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. Here we are 12 to 16 hours after Christ put them on the ship. And the very ship that Christ put them on, they're now crying out for fear. Can I tell you, now, I don't know what difficult things you might be going through in life tonight, but Jesus Christ knows right where you're at. And his purpose for whatever's going on in your life is for you to learn how to trust him and have faith when you don't understand the outcome of what's going on. Here he's trying to teach his disciples, hey, why don't you just trust me? I put you on the ship. Hey, just trust what I'm doing in your life. Look at here at 27. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I." Here's those three little words again. Be not afraid. Hey, we got to stop letting fear control us, because fear will always keep us on that bank and we'll never make it to the other side and we'll never be able to help people the way Christ intended for us to. Look at their problem in 28. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Hey, you know what the devil does to us when we're in those low places of life, when we're trying to serve the Lord and we're trying to do right? He wants us to have a little faith. He wants us to doubt God and say, "Lord, Do you see what's going on in my life? Why are you allowing this? He just wants you to see who he is. That's exactly what he was doing in the disciples' life. Look at verse 31. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. Oh, I'm sorry, I read that one already. 32. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Hey, wherever you might be tonight in your battle and your afflictions and your difficulties and trying to do the things for the Lord, hey, just keep trusting him. He's going to see you through. There is going to be a calm. And guess what? There's going to be another difficulty in your life down the road. You're going to be able to look back and say, you know what? God delivered me here, and I know he'll deliver me here. I'll be able to keep moving forward for Christ. Hey, how's the boat in your life tonight? Keep moving forward. Don't go back to the bank. We got too many Christians today that they get in the boat and they begin to move forward, but life didn't go the way they thought it should, so they come off the mission field and they come home and they work a secular job. It's happening every day all around this country. It's happening today all around the world. Don't let fear control you. Keep moving forward. Lastly, tonight, I want you to see not just the bank, not just the boat, but lastly, I want you to see the bark. So the bark, we get in the boat, man, me and this officer, we got another mile or two upriver, and I remember coming around the bend, man, it was amazing. The news crews were set up over here on the right side of the river. We've got fire department, we got the deputies, we got local police. Man, they're all lined down both sides of the bank there. And right in between them here, there's this young man. Fear for his life. He's nearly hypothermic. He's at the early stages of hypothermia. He's got his arms wrapped around the bark of that tree just as tight as he can hold it. He's standing on top of his $200 kayak that he went down and bought at Dick's Sporting Goods, not having any idea what he was doing. He's wearing blue jeans and a white t-shirt, just as clueless as he could have ever been. He thought he knew what he was doing, but he didn't. Now, there's a lot of people in the church house today that think they know what they're doing. They think that they're going to earn favor with God. They're too afraid of what people think around them. But yet, just like this young man, as soon as they slip off into eternity, they're going to spend an eternity in hell because they've never made that true profession of faith. Hey, as a rescue worker, now, you know what God opened my eyes to one day when I was preparing this message? We come up beside the tree and we're looking to see how can we get up and yank him off the tree. And as I'm looking around at all of these first responders, can I tell you something? They look sharp. They look professional. They did. They really looked good. Their shoes were shined. They had all their first responder gear on. The fire departments had everything that they needed to look like they knew what they were doing. Where were they at, though? They were on the bank. Hey, if you have the same Bible I have tonight, the Bible still says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We can look at people slip off into eternity every day, but if we're not faithful, if we're not going, if we're not moving forward, it does not matter how well we dress up tonight. It does not matter how good our Bible is that we carry by our side. Man, as Christians, as Baptists, don't we look good coming to church? Hey, don't we look good to the world sometimes? That's not what Christ said. Christ said, go into the world and preach the gospel. And we must take the gospel. If we would have not got to this young man, he would have slipped off that tree and he would have died. As we pulled the nose of the boat right up to that tree, can I ask you, do you think that he had trouble getting in the boat? He didn't at all. You know, sometimes we get doors slammed in our face and sometimes we don't really like what people have to say. I still have not gotten used to rejection. Do you like rejection, brother? It's never going to be a natural thing. It's those days of rejection the devil tries to get us to stop. But hey, when you meet the right person, hey, when you pray to God and ask for opportunity tonight after church, Lord, just give me opportunity, who can I tell about Jesus Christ? You're going to meet somebody that's ready to slip off into eternity, maybe even take their own life because they cannot handle the cares of this world anymore. And they're just waiting for somebody to show up at the foot of their tree where they can step off into that spiritual boat and know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Working for natural resources for all those years that I did, it was sad, man. The very first weekend I worked, I remember the Cincinnati Police Department was trying to talk a guy down on the corner of one of the bridges. He was trying to jump. We were on the water. We were looking up at him. First weekend I worked. But what I come to develop and realize over all those years of being in the state is that every weekend people were jumping off the bridges because they could not handle life anymore. Down at the park, there was one gentleman just before I had started working there, he drove his van into the lake there at East Fork State Park. Just done with life. Couldn't handle it anymore. And there's people, you might not realize it, but there's people like that in our life every day that are so empty inside. And they're just waiting for somebody to show up and say, hey, there's more to life than what you think. And it's all found in Jesus Christ. Can I ask you tonight, have you been faithful? Have you been off that bank in your spiritual walk? Hey, keep moving forward. Are you telling people about Him? How many gospel tracts did you pass out this past week? How much time did you spend this past week praying and reading your Bible and asking God to show you how to be a better witness and a better outreach for these lost sinners? Hey, where are you at tonight? You're in one of these three places. You're on the bank. You're on the boat, or I don't know, you might even be on the bark. If you're on the bark, hey, Christ died because He loves you. He made it so easy for us. All we have to do, according to the Bible, is repent of our sins and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I end with this. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Let's pray. Lord.